This hour of Overdrive, powered by The Source. For expert advice on the very best holiday gifts, visit The Source and chat with one of their tech experts. It's Mailin' In Friday, brought to you by 1-in-100.
Fridays, they tend, if I'm not mistaken, to be a personal day for some guys.
Yeah, it is.
It can be.
Very never know.
Up here, I'm already gone.
So what if we mail in one day of the week? I mean, come on, it's Friday.
6 o'clock, I'm ninja dust.
Yeah, it isn't a half day or anything like that.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
There's an old saying out there, what goes around comes around, and a couple of weeks ago, I thought I was on my deathbed. I was really, really struggling.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a high fever, I had the flu.
Were you hallucinating at all?
Hallucinations.
Everything.
Everything possible was going against me, and I had to reluctantly call up Al and say, you know what, I don't think I can make it in.
Yeah.
And the old dog, Jeff O'Neill, took advantage of that and carved me for the next 48 hours.
Didn't he call you like Brian Verbata?
Called me Brian Verbata, said I was soft. Guess who needed a personal day today?
Yeah.
Guess who decided?
Well, he's tired.
Mani pedis, I need a massage, light some candles.
Is that what it was?
Run the bath. Like, oh, yeah. It's just a personal day down at the spa.
Usually when he takes a personal day, like, he either announces it very early. This one just flew under the radar. Like, he just, it wasn't like, everyone else knew but you and I.
Exactly. Oh, I didn't really know that much either. I was privy to it, I think, yesterday, maybe on Wednesday.
Yeah, I just figured
he was goofing on us because he's off for a few weeks over the holidays. And
he's got a very good schedule.
Quite the sked. Needed a personal day today. So Jonas Siegel's in here from The Athletic. And Jonas, you have been on the wrong side of many chirps from the big guy. And now the floor is yours, man. Feel free to just absolutely annihilate him for the next 3 hours.
Well, do you remember the last time I was in, he came late? Didn't he come like 15 minutes late to the show?
That's right, he did.
And obviously his excuse was traffic, which obviously I've had some troubles with in my day. But listen, Jeff's actions stand for themselves.
They speak for themselves.
I don't need to say anything.
He's not a good pro. No. He doesn't do it right
every
day. He's
probably listening right now, though.
Of course he is.
What would you like to say to
him? He's at the spa right now. Mud bath. He's in the mud bath right now. And he's listening.
What's the guy from Suits? Lewis, is it?
Yeah, Lewis.
Who takes the mud bath.
That's right.
That?
He's Lewis.
That's O-Dog.
He's mudding.
He's mudding right now.
The O-Dog is mudding right now.
Well, he was tired. It's been a long week.
It has been. It's not easy, grinding away.
I've got something to say.
All right.
And I want you guys to weigh in on it. I have discovered. Now, I have favorite athletes. Like, I've never been a fan of teams, per se, my whole life, but I just loved certain athletes. You just, you take a look at them, you like the way they play, you like the way they carry themselves. If you had to ask me, I mean, there's a lot of Leafs that I like. Morgan Riley would be one that I love the guy. He's a great player. Patrick Marleau, I have a lot of ties to, back channels, friends of friends and stuff. I think Kawhi Leonard could be my favorite Toronto athlete. I had a good chat with Nabil last night, and I was talking about how, you know, the entrance, the warm-up, like when guys come out, every guys have dances,
Kyle's
and high
really
five.
Good.
Yeah, Kyle's is like really
it's like choreographed. And guy,
yeah, it's choreographed.
They've worked on it. They've practiced.
Like
it.
That's like it practiced. These guys are like, you're gonna lay there, you're gonna do this, I'm gonna high five. Like it is something else to watch. And I watched it the other night. Kyle's got this really neat, you know, high five. And Danny Green, I think, is like doing sit-ups and doing weird things. Kawhi just walked out and high-fived. Like, it was the quietest entrance. And he dominated that night. And then I was telling Nabil about this last night. He goes, well, you know what he drives, right? And I'm like, no. Just Google search Kawhi Leonard's vehicle. It's like a 1997 Chevrolet Tahoe.
I love it. I love it. I'll bet you he's got a flip phone.
I don't know. But like,
his email is like, it's a Hotmail for sure.
Yeah.
He got one years ago and he never upgraded.
Because
I have a Hotmail and I take heat for it.
Yeah,
like, I was on a chain because, like, it was years ago. I guess I've probably come up with Gmails and Yahoo or whatever. I have my work email. That's what I do. I'm not up to anything nefarious. I don't need a burner email account.
Yeah.
But, you know, for like hockey pools and stuff, that's the account I use.
Yeah.
And I'm on a chain with like 10 or 12 guys, and They're like, nice Hotmail account.
Yeah.
Like, what is the matter?
You still use ICQ?
I do. I wish I could still use ICQ.
I don't know what that
is. I love ICQ. You never got into that. Well, you were in the NHL. You were actually like a somebody at that point.
I don't know what that is. What do you mean ICQ?
It's like an instant messenger thing.
You don't know ICQ?
No, but I mean, I'm 47 years old.
What about like MSN Messenger? Did you have that?
Yeah. Yeah, I had
it. It was just before MSN Messenger.
Okay, but no, I...
MSN Messenger... basically put ICQ out to pasture.
I was actually ICQ. In on the early texting days.
Atta boy.
Like, I remember it was easier to send a note because you could have it, like, right front and center than leave a voicemail. So I wasn't a pioneer, but I remember when people were first discovering it, I had, like, a Nokia, and I
But that would have been annoying because there'd be, like, three other people on Earth that you knew that right. actually could do that.
Yeah.
Like, remember everyone had their friend, the first friend to get a phone?
Yeah.
And you'd be like, what's the point? No one else has a cell phone.
Right.
Great, you have one. I'm never calling
I them. Had a giant
Call my house.
One. Like, in 1991, I had one of those Zach Morris Saved by the Bell.
Back when they were car phones.
Yeah. There,
remember
I had
that?
A car,
it was car phone.
I had a car phone, but I had a portable one. That was kind of beige color with the long antenna. It looked now like, I think Miami Vice, they used them back then.
Do you think Kawhi has a car phone in his 97 Chevy?
I don't know, but like he just is rapidly becoming my favorite Toronto athlete.
Good.
There's people that I care for, people that I don't care for by the way they conduct themselves. Yeah, they're all talented, I get that. But there's certain guys that you just want to pull for you, like really... like the way this guy handles himself, and other guys are like, no, just play your sport and zip it type of thing. Kawhi is a guy that I got to give a lot of love to. I don't know how long he's going to stay here. I don't think I'll ever meet him in my lifetime, but I got a lot of respect for him.
Well, he seems very grounded.
Yeah.
He's obviously set in his ways. He doesn't care about materialistic items or anything like that. Like this, I don't think he's on Instagram or Twitter. This guy's not hanging out with Kardashians in Hollywood in the off season. He rocks New Balance. He drives a 97 Chevy.
Yeah.
Probably got a side flip phone.
Yeah.
With a keyboard.
Do you guys ever have a pager?
I never did, but
I never understood the point of that.
Unless you're a drug dealer, what's like, the point? You're either a surgeon or a drug dealer. Why would
or
you?
A realtor.
Yes,
realtors always had pagers.
That's right. My mom is one, and she always had a pager.
Yeah,
and okay. It was always going off, and that's true. You did need that if you're in the real estate
game.
I had a couple buddies that had them, and it was like,
we had a
I have to page you and sit by the phone and wait for you to call me.
And leave a voicemail, and that person would hear it through the pager.
Huh.
So we used to, one of my buddies was quite high up with an oil and gas company, and we'd know he'd be in meetings, and we would call and start yelling into his pager. And like offside stuff, and you could see he's just panicking, like because it would beep, and then the voicemail would come flying out of the pager,
right?
And you know there was some things said back then.
Well, I was just thinking about that with ICQ. Someone tweeting in, being like, "Oh, I totally forgot about that." You know how mortifying it would be to go back and see the like archives of your ICQing,
the chain.
Yeah, like the chain. Well, because you were in high school and you're messaging with girls and stuff, and God knows what you were writing back then.
That would be. I mean, nowadays that's like. Direct messaging on
I guess it's Snapchat and
Twitter and all these things.
Anyway, the Leafs are in action tomorrow night. They're in Boston. There's been a lot going on with this team, and last night's game
it doesn't matter.
I mean, this is where you realize how different this team is and where this team has come from and where we all believe they're going. Game like last night, you're like, they're lucky to get a point. They mailed in 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And credit to them in the third, they came alive. Detroit looked terrified. Like, how many times were the Leafs on the opposite side of that 3, 4, 5 years ago?
Right.
Detroit did not want to touch the puck in the third. They're like, please get it out before you know it was tied. But for them to just get a point in a way is like, that's actually pretty impressive because a lot of teams in the league, when they have an off night, they lose or they get smoked. And the Leafs didn't do that last night.
Yeah.
Where, again, 2 years ago, where you're fighting for every point and you're concerned about them getting in, you'd be yelling and screaming about that kind of effort. I feel like the city has just kind of changed. They acknowledge they didn't play well, but I think they'll respond and play pretty well tomorrow night.
It's like the whole season is like autopilot. Like, you're like,
they'll be okay.
Like, if they lost 6-1, which I don't think has happened, you'd be like,
they'll be all right.
It's fine.
Yeah, they're a good team. They're going to figure it out.
And it's like last night, it was like they just like decided, okay, we're just going to win. And obviously they didn't win. But it's like, we're just going to score three goals and we'll just get back in this game.
Yeah, I mean, part of that, too, is Detroit's a team that is banged up.
And not,
they're young and they're not very good. And they're in a position where they haven't been in a lot, like where they're ahead in a game against a really good team. How do you defend that? How do you play? And we see now in today's world, you don't sit back and try and chip it out in that. Like, you try and forge ahead and score the next one. And they almost did. I mean, like, Garrett Sparks, I didn't think he played very well last night. I think they, and I've said this right from the get-go, Garrett Sparks, if you look at his win-loss record, that's all you want out of your backup.
I was thinking about that comment last night. I'm like, he's going to sneak out a win.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the year, you're just going to say, wow, he won a lot of games.
Yeah. He's 4-1-1. That's all you ask for your backup.
Yeah.
Like, it's ugly, though.
Oh, it's
ugly. Some ugly.
Three of those goals last night. You know, you don't blame him on the overtime goal. That's a great goal and a breakaway.
Yeah, it was
Larkin,
a beautiful move.
He's a good player. But three of the four in reg were ugly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't think
but
he was sharp.
He's entitled to off nights as well, even though he's a backup and he's not going to get many opportunities going forward. He's going to have to play when he has to play, and he's got to find a way to battle. I thought he battled in the third, made some stops.
Made
to
a good
keep
right
it
pad save, yeah.
Yeah.
Right at 4-4, I think. But he got, I mean, 12 seconds left, hits a crossbar.
Yeah.
Like, it was one
and
of those games.
He couldn't pick that one up
no,
either.
But
it came in from
that
the
came
point.
From some traffic and a redirect.
Yeah.
But I, you know, they're going to, this team can score. This team is well put together. So, you know, their regular season, his record is going to be fine. I mean, numbers aren't going to be great on some nights, the save percentage, all of that. But, like, I just remember, and I'm sure Babs is a lot like this, I remember Daryl Sutter saying to me, particularly, like, this is what I want on my backup. This is what you need to win at least 50% of your games. Like, you have to be higher than 50%. You have to give the starter a night off. Like, it was almost like a criteria. And then on good teams, like, I was on a President's Trophy winning team in 99, I think, in St. Louis. Like, I think I played 19 games, but statistically, you're like, I know the team's going to score four every night. I just got to give up two or less, maybe three or less, and you're not facing a lot of shots. You're not facing a lot of high-quality chances. With that team, I wasn't. You did your job, and I think Garrett's a guy that my biggest concern moving forward with the Leafs, like, down the stretch is if Freddie tweaks something or is out like Vasilevsky, that's where Sparks would be on the clock. And I still would argue that Kyle's going to do something at the deadline to add depth to that position, because you do need to hedge your bets. Is that the right word?
Yeah, I think hedge that absolutely. Yeah. And listen, Babcock, just based on his comments, I'm not convinced
he's
enthralled with Garrett Sparks
at this moment. No,
no. And he's not the only coach in the league that looks at their backup and wonders if he can trust them. A lot of them do.
For
that.
Sure. Like, that, yeah, it's not the only one.
But Babcock had some interesting comments last night, again, about what he said about Sparks. Said, it's the NHL. We expect you to be good every single night. He was critical of himself last night with the Nylander stuff. And Nylander, that's probably what we should have been expecting. I mean, I didn't really care how much he played last night, but just the fact that he played, you get a shift. The fact that he got benched in the third should not have surprised anybody. The guy hasn't had a practice yet. What, do you think he's going to get double or triple shifted in the third? No chance.
Jonas, I don't know where you're at, but coming in yesterday on the show, we were like, this guy's in great shape. You know, he's a talented guy. Skating doesn't go away. I think in my mind saying to myself, like, I think he'll be fine. But then you start watching and you forget, like, the game is so fast, timing, everything. He looked flat out like a guy who missed training camp,
yeah,
and didn't practice.
It was like 225 days since he had played a game. Like, that's,
yeah, it's a long time.
Well, like, what does it feel like that first game, like when you play that first exhibition game?
You feel like you haven't played one in 6 months.
And then, like, you're playing against everybody who's in the same position.
Yeah, they're all rusty.
Whereas, like, last night, everybody's, like, 2.5 months into their year.
And you could tell. Like, his timing was off. He was ahead of the play, behind the play. He got pushed off the puck a couple times, where I think he's a lot stronger in those situations. It's just timing. And I wasn't worried one bit, and I'm not worried one bit. It's just that this could have a scenario there. This little bit could linger for a couple weeks, though. And I think Babs came out last night, and I thought he did a very good job, because he's like, this is on me. All he wanted to do is take pressure off William Nylander, because we're going to talk about him. This guy makes $7 million now. He's making $10 million technically this year on paper. Like, we're going to talk about his game, if it's in order, if it's not in order, because he put a a target on himself by doing that.
See, it's interesting because I think you could interpret Babcock's comments both ways. The first of which is protection. I'll take the bullet here. My bad. He didn't practice. Yeah. Maybe he shouldn't have. But then on the other side of it, and this was honesty, but he's like, Kapanen and Janssen were our best players. Well, who's fighting for the minutes on the wing?
Right.
It's Kapanen and Janssen. Because Marner's going to get his. No, you know,
Nylander's getting his.
Nylander's going to get his, but he doesn't, just because he's signed now doesn't mean you're guaranteed to play 18 minutes a night. Like, if he's not prepared to play and Kapanen's the better player, Kapanen should be getting those minutes. And Janssen, I think, is fighting to get some minutes. I think he was being honest, but I also believe that competition is a part of coaching. Internal competition is a part of coaching.
For sure.
And Nylander, he has the right to negotiate the way that he did. But just because you're back now doesn't mean it's your world again.
He's got a...
And I think that's an important message to send to him and to send everybody on the team. Like Babcock said it last night, no one's playing 25 minutes here. We got a lot of good players. We're going to find a way to make it work. I believe by the end of the year, Nylander will be back to form and everything will be fine and he'll be playing where he's supposed to be playing. But tomorrow night, I don't think he should just be handed 18 minutes again. If he's not going and Kapanen's the better player in Boston, Kapanen should be playing ahead of him.
I think by the end of this calendar year, Nylander will be back there consistently. Like, I think it's going to be a couple weeks.
Which is fine.
And that's fine. Like, it doesn't matter.
That's fine.
But I mean, I'm not worried about it at all. I just think, like, we're not going to see that. Like, we're going to see a marked improvement 2 days from now, four days from now, 6 days from now, because he's going to start to get his legs underneath him, his timing, his confidence, all of that stuff that comes with actually just practicing and playing and feel. Like, he looked like we all did when we first jumped on the ice in the summer. Like, your timing's off. You still have your instincts and your talent and that, but his timing was off. Everything was off. And I guarantee, I know he said the right things after the game. He's like, I felt okay, you know.
What's he
going to say?
Yeah.
Like,
no,
my
chance.
Legs felt
terrible.
Like, yeah, but he could have said, you know, my legs felt like they were somebody else's legs. Like, there was a few times where I thought, okay, like he, and it, he kept his shift length for the most part short, and it was fine.
We'll get into what Babcock said about the Cronwall hit on Matthews and the team reaction and how the team is built. And that's, you know, you got two worlds colliding here, old school and new school. And that's a perfect example of it last night. Rays coming up at 5. We'll delve into that extensively. Jason Stark coming up from The Athletic. He had a piece speaking with a lot of people throughout baseball about this push to ban the shift. Is it even possible? What does he make of Atkins' comments about Tulowitzki, about Sanchez and Stroman? Where are Bryce Harper and Machado going to be by this time next week? We'll catch up with Jason Stark next. Mail It In Friday brought to you by 1in100.net. For a 1in100 chance at winning killer seats to any Toronto game, go to 1in100.net, and your first entry is free. Jason Stark of The Athletic will join us here in a moment, get his take on his own report. He was talking to a bunch of people throughout baseball, and there is a real appetite for putting an end to the shift. I don't know if it's possible. I don't know what it would look like. I don't think it's impossible to legislate something. I mean, baseball is not a free-flowing sport. Everyone's set before the pitch. You can technically, it's not like people are running all over the field and you're going to try to stop that. I mean, everyone is in a defensive position, and if you want them aligned in a certain fashion, I guess it's conceivable. I guess you could do it. We'll see what Stark has to say. We'll catch up with him in a few moments. A lot of people tweeting in, texting in. It has been reported. The Leafs have confirmed it. I guess William Nylander and Kasperi Kapanen got into basically a fender bender today just outside of the MasterCard Center. Everyone's okay. I don't think there are any injuries with their car or the other car. I don't know all the details. I guess we'll find out. But
yeah, those corners don't. I mean, that area, like, I mean, Jonas, you've been down there a million times. Like, seems like it's decent to drive there, but.
Well, this can happen anywhere. And as long as everyone's okay. Yeah. You know, if they're leaving practice and stuff, it's not like they were, it's not 2 a.m. or something.
No,
they were probably headed to the airport.
Yeah, I guess so. Out to Boston, yeah.
Yeah.
And I would assume they're still going to make that flight and they're still going to make their way there. But it seems like everyone's okay. But interesting week so far for William Nylander.
Yeah, really.
And I remember getting into a fender bender when I was in junior, my second year. And I was not built like an Adonis necessarily. And it
but they needed the jaws of life to get you out, or
no,
what?
It actually, what happened was it worked out perfectly for me, because you know this, you show up at camp and you have physicals and then you go through a training regimen,
right,
to prove that you've been working out throughout the summer. And because we got into a fender bender, it wasn't me, it was me and my buddy who's on the team, and he got into it. And we called in, we said, we're not going to make it, we have to wait for the cops, and we have to issue a statement. So I ended up basically getting out of having to do the physical.
That's huge.
And then I just dodged it for like the next 2 weeks until they finally stopped asking me. Because I would have put up nothing, like on the bench, chin-ups, nothing. It would have been bagels across the board. And they would have been like, what did you do all summer? Nothing, really. I drank and kind of hung out with people, was up in Muskoka a bit.
Put up nothing.
Literally nothing across the board.
Yeah, well.
So I'm not saying that fender benders are a good thing, but in my particular case, this anecdote, it worked out kind of well for me.
I mean, those fitness testing, a lot of it is a joke. Like, was it not that long ago at the combine, somebody couldn't do a curl, a pull-up?
Oh, yeah.
Well, Sam Bennett.
Was it Sam Bennett?
Was it Sam Bennett that
wasn't,
I thought?
There's someone
no,
else
I thought it
recently?
Was Reinhardt or something. It was like a top dog. Like
Sam Bennett was definitely involved
was
in something.
Was it Dubois?
I don't know.
I'm telling you, it was Sam Bennett. Sam Bennett was involved in something. He couldn't do a bench press or it was something like that.
There was something ridiculous. Like maybe I'm even thinking farther back. Like I thought maybe it was like Patrick Kane or something. Couldn't do one chin up, and like they're like, that's fine. Like go and be a star. Like that's the one. Like Wayne Gretzky, and I've heard stories about Wayne Gretzky and Mario Lemieux walking in and just telling the trainer like, put me down. Like don't. I'm not even going to do it. Just put me down for two. Like, Mika Kiprasov did not destroy the VO2 testing whatsoever.
I guess
played 75 games every year.
But I guess there's no way to, like, make players accountable in the summer if you don't have that stuff.
You're right. What they need is a benchmark in that. And it's very, I mean, it's a lot higher quality as far as tracking nowadays. Back then, it was Mike Milbury at training camp one time said, you guys have to run 2 miles in under 12 minutes. And if you don't do it, the next day you're going to run 5 miles in 35 minutes. And if you don't do that, you're in the fat farm. And I just remember like battling to get under 12 minutes. Did it though.
Carlos sent me a text saying it was Bennett. He couldn't do a pull up.
Yeah.
Sam Bennett couldn't do a pull up. He still went fourth overall.
Yeah. Our guys are
hasn't turned into a superstar, so maybe there was some red flags there in the end. But
I think there's lots of stories about, you know, young players that
They're 18 years old. They haven't developed.
Exactly.
Yeah, who cares? We've got Jonas Siegel in here from The Athletic. How often do you interact with other members of your crew?
Well, they have Slack. Do you guys use Slack?
No, never heard of it.
This is another
never
one
heard
of,
of
your,
it.
Never seriously. Heard of Slack, no.
Well, welcome to 2018.
Is this like an athletic
you know
thing
it's like?
Or what?
No.
Yeah, it's an
you know what it's like?
Do
it's,
I need to subscribe?
Yes.
No, it's
pay $28
it basically is like ICQ.
Oh, okay.
Except for the workplace. So everybody from The Athletic is on that.
So have you ever bothered Jason Stark?
No, I should because I read.
You should bother Jason.
His stuff.
He's a great writer. He's been on the show many times. He's a senior baseball writer at The Athletic, and he's back on Overdrive. Here's Jason Stark. How you doing, Jason?
Brian, I'm good, man. How are you?
Doing pretty well. We've got... The Athletic's everywhere these days, man. Jonas is with The Athletic, and you're with The Athletic, and I was reading your piece the other day and about the shift, and you've been talking to a lot of different people throughout baseball, and I think you and I have talked about this in the past, and whether or not it's even sensible, is it even conceivable, can you make it go away? But you said that there's a real appetite to try to put an end to this shift. I mean, is that possible? Where do you see this going?
Well, let me just give you the background on this piece. It's because it's really blown up. You know, the owners' meetings were, I'm going to say, 3 weeks ago. And at those owners' meetings, the competition committee in baseball met. And afterwards, people who were at the owners' meeting were telling me that the competition committee came out strongly in favor of trying to limit the shift in some way. And, you know, we know that Rob Manfred has been interested in this topic basically since the day he took the job. You can Google that one sometime. And the more I looked around, the more I thought, whoa, this is, the support for this is really building. I had a guy tell me, I actually think this is going to happen. And so it made me interested in the idea of how would baseball change if they actually did kill the shift, limit the shift, whatever they wind up doing, if they do anything at all, because it all has to get negotiated. And, you know, I'm just not convinced that at this point they could agree with the players' union on where to go to lunch, but anything's possible.
Right. Well, the idea of more balls in play, I mean, that is enticing.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I don't think there's many fans out there that would say that's a bad idea, but, I mean, are you going to change the fundamentals of the game? I don't know if you can.
Well, you know, I mean, I have heard from, I want to say, literally thousands of people, thanks to social media, all the comments on my column, and I'm amazed by all the people who think this is blasphemous to take one of the great innovations in modern baseball, this shift, and kill it and tell teams they can't do it. But let's just take a step back. As you just said, what they're looking for is more action, better entertainment, more guys running around the bases. So we did the math. I had Sports Info Solutions just crunch all these numbers for me. And the batting average on ground balls and short line drives that are now being hit into the shift would go up 50 points. There'd be a minimum of 500 more ground ball hits a year. And then we don't even know what would happen beyond that. We just measured balls hit this past season into what is now the shift. But, you know, those ground balls with a man on first turn into double plays now. They would turn into first and third with no shift. And we have no idea whether, just pick your favorite left-handed thumper, Bryce Harper, comes to the plate and sees, whoa, there's a big hole there on the right side that didn't used to be there. I got a guy on second. Maybe I should just poke a ground ball through that hole and drive him in. So there would definitely be more action. But would there be enough to justify something this dramatic? It's a really good question.
Well, but Jason, isn't one of the changes more in baseball that we've seen strikeouts just go through the roof? And that's why, like, It's kind of boom or bust right now, so that's maybe more why it's kind of changed, you know, the nature of the game.
Yeah, Jones, that's a big part of it. You know, what have teams been doing to combat the shift? They're not trying to poke balls through the opposite, you know, through the hole on the other side of the field. They're trying to hit over the shift. It's what they have been coached to do. Launch angle, man. And I don't think launch angle is going away, but uppercut swings versus everybody in baseball throwing 95 to 105 has just created this tsunami of strikeouts. And it is one of the theories that this would incentivize not trying to uppercut so much, trying to hit more line drives and ground balls and possibly reducing strikeouts that way. I don't think launch angle is going away. People have been trying to hit the ball in the air in baseball for 100 years. But I do think that is a big part of this, the theory behind this anyway.
With Jason Stark, senior baseball writer at The Athletic, you mentioned Harper a moment ago. I know the winter meetings, they're in Vegas, his hometown, Scott Boras. I would assume he's got something planned. I mean, we all heard the report out of Washington. He turned down 10 years, $300 million. Now I'm seeing reports that the Nats are essentially saying they don't think Harper's coming back, that he's already moved on. If that's the case, where do you think he ends up, Jason?
Well, we're going to be talking about this every waking second next week, Brian. But if I were going to bet right now, I would bet on the Phillies, because I think they're the team capable of putting the biggest pile of money in front of Scott Boras, which is what usually gets it done. It's really hard to appraise how many teams are seriously in this. You know, Jeff Passan and Tim Brown of Yahoo Sports wrote a big piece about this the other day. At first they said that Magic Johnson had flown to Vegas to meet with Bryce along with his Dodgers delegation. Then the Dodgers denied that. Magic denied that. They peeled that back. But they did say that there were upwards of a dozen teams in on them. And I'll be honest with you, I would take the under. I can't find a dozen teams. I mean, are the Dodgers in on some level? I guess so, but I don't know if they're in on the 10 to 13-year, $300 to $400 million level. The Yankees clearly are monitoring this, but they're not. The Cubs don't seem to be. The White Sox and the Phillies are the only real teams that have acknowledged it, and then I guess if he begged the Nationals to bring him back, it would have to be a creative deal, but not impossible. But you tell me where else he's going at that money.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, the big boys that are out, I hear you. I don't know where it's going. I mean, Washington, that seemed like a pretty reasonable move to me. I mean, why would you turn down 10 years, $300 million if you really like it there? That's all he's ever known.
Are you familiar with his agent?
I hear you. I know what Boris is all about. I got it. I mean,
he wasn't. There's no chance that 5 minutes before the guy tested free agency, he was going to take that deal.
Yeah,
Scott's got big plans. You know, Scott's going to somehow figure out a way to have teams not bid against each other, but bid against this mythical record he's trying to set. Biggest contract in history, either the most dollars per year or beat the Giancarlo Stanton most dollars period record, or ideally both. And there are just not a lot of teams that can do that. But the Nationals had no chance of pulling that off before he tested free agency. And the Patrick Corbin deal is just a sign they didn't think they could afford to wait around.
Which I understand, and Boris, listen, there's a reason he's a super agent. He's been doing this forever, and I'm sure he's got a pretty good read on the market and a pretty good read on what that final number is going to be. But he works for Harper. Like, this idea that Boris is the one turning it down is deceptive. Harper turned it down. Harper can, like, if Harper wanted to be in Washington, he could still conceivably go back, but it, like you just said with the Corbin deal, it doesn't sound like that's going to happen because Washington may not have the money left. But why is it that Boris is up on this pedestal when he's the one that actually is employed by the players?
Why do players hire Scott Boris?
I don't know.
I mean, they're looking for the biggest pile of money, aren't they? Isn't that why you hire Scott Boris?
I guess.
You know, if you're looking for a warm and fuzzy free agent experience, where you wind up, where your loved ones are the happiest, and where you've achieved the most happiness, it's not why you hire that guy. You hire him to get the most money. And, you know, I saw the Nationals at the end of the year. I would say some of Bryce's buddies were sure he was coming back because really thought he had some insecurities about life anywhere else. This was all he'd ever known. But it's business. And again, I don't think it's impossible. I really don't. They've done so much business with Scott Boris that if the Lerners and Boris and Bryce got together and said, let's figure this out, and they had to put together a deal with opt-outs after the first, second, fourth, sixth, and eighth year, maybe they could do that. But it'd have to be creative, and they'd be way over the luxury tax, which would be an issue. So they might have overplayed that hand. It's happened before.
With Jason Stark of The Athletic, got to get your take on the Blue Jays. And Ross Atkins had his annual luncheon with the print media up here in Toronto yesterday or a couple of days ago. And there were some new news items that came out of it. You know, the Tulowitzki standoff is going to happen. He's going to show up in the spring. You assume he's going to be healthy for the first time in over a year. And he said in late September when he was up here, if he doesn't play short, he's going home. I'm here to play short. And Atkins said, well, if the season started tomorrow, Gurriel Jr. is going to be at short, which is natural. They're turning over a new leaf. This is going to be the kids that are playing. And he also said that Stroman and or Sanchez, there's going to be some people calling. And yes, there could be enough there that would be enticing to move on from them, which is more open than Atkins has been in the past. What do you make of the Jays and what to expect out of them over the next month and a half?
Yeah, you know, I've been thinking about the Tulo situation going back to last spring when it was clear he wasn't going to be able to play probably at all. And if you're them, how can you possibly count on that guy to be healthy? He can't do it. But I was really surprised that Ross spoke about the situation in such strong terms. That's going to be really uncomfortable, really uncomfortable. He's going to have a manager that doesn't really know him. There's nobody there to advocate for Tulo, it sounds like. And I don't know where this is leading, but I doubt it's leading to him playing shortstop on opening day unless he hits 700 in spring training. I really think that the Blue Jays, as you guys know, are in a holding pattern as they wait for the next wave to get there. You know, when Vlad and Bobichette and the next generation arrive, it's going to be a really exciting team, one of the most interesting in the big leagues. They've got to figure out the best way to get from here to there. And so why wouldn't they be open to trading Marcus Stroman? Why wouldn't they be open to trading Sanchez? The reason not to do it is just they're not at the peak of their value, are they?
Right. No chance.
So if they're not, they probably have more value staying than going.
Always great catching up with you, Jason. Enjoy the winter meetings, the rest of the offseason. I'm sure we'll do it again down the road.
It's always a pleasure, Brian. Take care, man.
There he is, Jason Stark of The Athletic. Was it Slack?
I'm shocked. I still can't get over that you don't know what that is.
I've never heard of it before.
I've heard of it.
You haven't heard of ICQ.
Yeah, this is. But that's
what am I
like,
dealing with like a couple like cavemen,
Neanderthals.
I'm surprised you know how to use the computer.
I'm good on the computer. It's just I stay within my wheelhouse. And why would I? To me, Slack seems like it's a business oriented thing. Yeah, I'm my own company. So who am I going to talk to on?
I love that comment. Put that on your tombstone. I am my own company.
Yeah. Independent contractor. That's
right.
What I am.
So, he's not a business.
We
man.
Have an internal email. Don't you have like an athletic email?
Yeah, but this is instant. This is fast.
What's the difference?
The text is what?
Because for an email, like you have to wait.
No, you don't.
Yeah, it's like email back, email back, email back. This is like instant messenger, but for everyone in your company.
Well,
maybe in a few years.
It sounds unnecessary, quite frankly. Why do you need to be able to see what some guy writing in LA is writing,
or
some guy in Miami or Chicago? Like, why would that be?
No, but like I could just send you a direct message.
Send me an email or a text.
Yeah.
Why do I need Slack? It just seems so unnecessary.
I feel like there's way too many ways to get a hold of people anyway.
Exactly. It's
like that's why I was giving love to Kawhi. Well, nobody can get a hold of this guy.
Well, someone sent a tweet in saying, next time you interview Kawhi, it should be via fax. We should just fax back and forth with Kawhi.
Am I wrong on this? We've got to get the picture of the car. I believe
yes,
it's silver.
We'll try to. We'll get to the bottom of it. Yeah. Ray's coming up just after 5. Say I Do with Overdrive in Vegas this Valentine's Day. The O-Dog, well, if he shows up. Could be a personal day, now that I thought about it.
Yeah,
maybe there's a chance the O-Dog will need the day off in mid-February and he won't be able to make it to Vegas.
It's possible. I don't know, though.
They pop up randomly. You never know. Yeah. Maybe he's going to need some mudding, another mudding day.
Yes.
Another day at the spa. But Noodles and I will be down in Vegas.
For sure.
And ready to become your groomsmen. Send an email to vegas1050@bellmedia.ca and tell us why you and your better half want to tie the knot or renew your vows, Overdrive style. And you could be getting married in Vegas with flights and accommodations provided by tripcentral.ca. All the details of the contest up on our website, tsn1050.ca. The past couple of weeks around this time, we've called up someone who has submitted their resume to 1050@bellmedia.ca, and we've heard some very enticing cases.
There's been some great ones.
Very, very curious backgrounds.
Yeah, all different situations.
Very different situations.
I think it's great.
And this week, we've got a guy by the name of Joe McNulty, who I believe lives and works in Oshawa, Ontario, Canada.
So you know he's related to Mullen.
I would assume he's married. He's somehow related to Mullen.
Yeah.
And he and his wife are celebrating their 10-year anniversary in 2019. And he joins us now to break down his case. What's up, Joe?
Hey, what's going on? Welcome. Greetings from Oshawa.
Yes, we're big fans. We always love the Schwa. We're always thinking of the Schwa.
We appreciate the sentiments. Thank you.
Good. Yes, that's and it's not patronizing at all.
Mullen loves the
Schwa.
I can tell when it's real.
Yeah,
there you go. Exactly.
All right, so let me get this breakdown correct. You have claimed in the email to 1050 or Vegas at whatever the hell it is, that your wife is a rocket. And you're 5'10", 275, and you claim you would make the O-Dog feel and look like Brad Pitt in Vegas.
That's the thing. Like, you guys were really chirping about that blue suit, and I fell for him, so I thought, why not just put my dimensions on for you guys and to make him feel better? And then he seemed the most appalled by it, but that's fine. You guys did nail the 40-30 special, though. I hate to admit it on the radio, but you nailed it.
You're 100%. Rocking the 40-30s, and you got your elbows up in the corners and blocking shots with your face, all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, 40-30s, and, you know, whenever I go into the stores, I like to make a qualification, like, hey, man, you guys got some 40-30 slims?
Slims,
got some 40-30
like
skinny jeans?
Yeah.
But I don't know
if Wrangler makes slim. I'm not sure they do.
I don't know, but I like to qualify. I make myself feel a little bit better. To be honest, I'm more embarrassed about the 30 than I am the 40.
Oh, that's fine. Listen, we've all been there. I've hit 40 many times, so I'm worried about
that.
That's
the thing. I can drop it down to a 38, but those 30s, they're there for life. Like
right.
That's
the short pants, the inseam. Yeah,
you're sticking there. Why do you want to take this trip with us to Vegas? Explain what the reasoning would be and how you're going to essentially convince your wife to come along for the ride too.
Well, my wife's in. I mean, her favorite price is $3.99. So
okay, good.
If we say free, she's in. Like, she had a bit of, trepidation about it, but she's in. I mean, I think my wife deserves it. You can say whatever you want about me. That's fine. But, you know, she's a nurse at the Oshawa Hospital, and, she saves babies' lives here, okay? And I get gassed up on a Saturday night watching the Leafs. Like, she's a little out of my league, so I want to do something to keep her around here. And if she ever comes to her senses, that's what everyone says. So,
okay, well, we're suckers for charity, man, and
I
think this is a case to be made that I think is going to create quite a stir around here.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, she deserves, and I said it in the email, and you read it out last month. She deserves a second chance to say yes or no. She really does. I mean,
well, 10 we hope
years
to be there for that.
Well, you know what? I'd love to have you guys, and you know, it's fierce competition, man.
It's
fierce. There's Ricks. There's people with mustaches. Barry, Gary. Like,
my
mom. I mean, I'm flipping the script here, but my mom's name is Marianne from the Schwa. Like, you know what I mean?
That's going to get a lot of support around here, man. I'm telling you, your case. There are people with tears in their eyes here at TSN Radio.
Mullen can't keep it together. Back.
Mullen is honestly, he's so shook up. He's so overly emotional at this point and excited for you. So we wish you nothing but good luck and hopefully success. And if you and your wife are lucky enough to take the ride here, we'll be
there
with you, buddy. Good luck with this, okay?
May I just say one more thing?
Yep.
Just real quick?
You got it.
Your guys' groomsmen gifts?
Mm-hmm.
Grooms and gifts, okay.
But
if you're accepting, okay, I don't want to put you on the spot.
Yeah.
But you all will get a pair of 624 Larrys, white New Balance Blue N.
Wow,
that's impressive.
Okay,
rocking those on the strip is going to put us in a different category of VIP.
Yeah. You take the groomsmen pictures with the one leg up on the ledge, showing them off.
All right, we're in.
I don't see how we lose here.
I like it. All right, Joe. Good luck, buddy.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, there he is. Joe McNulty from Oshawa. 10-year anniversary, looking to renew their vows in Vegas.
He said his wife deserves another shot at it.
To say yes or no.
Yes.
Very important distinction. All right, good luck to everyone that has qualified and has sent an email. And Vegas1050@bellmedia.ca. Why do you want to get married with the Overdrive crew in Vegas? Hook us up with your story. Rays coming up in about 10 minutes. Raps in action tonight. Leafs in Boston and Babcock on the toughness or lack thereof on his team. We'll get to those comments next.
This hour of Overdrive was powered by The Source. For expert advice on the very best holiday gifts, visit The Source and chat with one of their tech experts.